This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. It is 5 o'clock in the Bayou City. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Oh, Skip Jack Johnny. Johnny be here.
Skip Jack Johnny. You the man.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the chummer.
I'm the slicker.
Start calling you Chumley.
Oh, no, I ain't that big fat guy from Pawn Stars.
No, I won't do that.
Oh, Lord.
I could never do that to you, Johnny.
I'm about 300 pounds smaller than him.
Just a little, yeah.
Just a skosh.
No floundering around.
No blubber.
That's it. No blubber. All right. Well, cool. We got a caller that called in. Let's go ahead and take him before we go to John Littleton and see what's up with him. Dwayne, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Oh, good morning, Captain Mickey.
Good morning.
I listened to you this morning, and I was cleaning out a closet. My mom is different. Anything keeps everything, absolutely everything. I'm glad you did, because I came across a box that had Polaroids in it. And my dad and I had a Boston Whaler B-20 Outrage about 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we would go kingfishing every weekend. We would come back with 20, 25 fish. I mean, 350 pounds of filet.
Right.
Before they had the rules.
Right.
But we left the jetties one morning, and we hit the water change color at about two and a half miles, 3 miles headed toward German Charlie's out there.
Uh-huh.
And the water changed, and there was a flat of sorghum out there, and there were fish underneath it. And I said, well, how about we throw underneath this right here? Should we catch one here? And I threw out there, and immediately a dolphin came out from underneath that. We call them dolphin, Dorado.
Yeah.
They're green, green, purple, beautiful fish.
Beautiful
about
fish.
About two and a half pounds. Hooked him, and he said, well, keep him in the water. They'll bring the other ones out. And there were thousands that came out from underneath that raft right there. We sat there for 2.5 hours with my dad and me and our next-door neighbor and fished him until we couldn't do anything else. There wasn't even any room left in the boat. We wound up with 80, and I still remember the number. It was 87. We caught 87 and left him. And my dad said, who's going to clean all these damn fish? And I said, you know who's going to clean all these damn fish? Me. That's what I have to do. But I lived on fish all the way through my teenage years. I'm going to be 56 on this Sunday. And my dad is, he's not going to be going out much longer. He's got prostate cancer.
Bless his heart.
But the memories that I have out there on the Gulf of Mexico, when the kingfish were out there, all the time. If you find a water change color right there, you're good. If you have squid, you could do anything.
Yeah.
Absolutely anything. Absolutely anything. And the very first, we're going out for the very first time that I was 15 years old, and we had a double hook with, they call them hooties. There were two hooks that had a little skirt on them, a little white skirt, and went out there and a couple of 10-pound bonita hit both of them at the same time.
Oh,
and it was
boy.
Ripping the line off my reel. And I didn't know what to do, so I did next to that thing, I put my thumb.
Yeah, on burnt that sucker up.
It ripped the skin right off of the hide. And he said, don't do that.
Well, you won't, but once. Everybody learns. That's the best way to learn is through the pain factor.
It's the best way to learn with a pain factor. But
you got that right.
All these federal rules that we have now are so restrictive, and I didn't know how good I had it because I kept my family. There's seven of us. I kept my family in fish for a long time. Long time.
Well,
I went from ceviche to, I never did the king ball thing because you throw away so much fish when you ball that fish out.
Yeah.
It's an absolute sin, but I absolutely love fish, and I wish I'd have become a guide at some point in my life. Maybe I can. I'm only going to be 56 this weekend, so.
Yeah, it's not too late.
I'm not married. I have no kids.
Well.
I listen to you all the time, Captain Mickey. And
sounds like you're a prime candidate.
I appreciate what you do, and you proliferate what it is that we do, that we want to happen. That's the only way that success happens is those that want to preserve it.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We preserve it.
Exactly.
Absolutely. But when I hear you tell the story, and I came across that photograph, and I'm standing on one end of the string, and my dad's standing on the other, and there's 27 kingfish between the two of us. And I mean, it's just before 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to turn around and go back into Port Aransas because we got to clean all these damn fish. That's when I break out the electric knife and just start carving. Yep. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful, absolutely wonderful. But
well, you can have all them kingfish, but I'll take all the chicken dolphin you don't want. I love those things, man. Those two-pounders, fillet them out like trout. They're hard to beat, man. They really are.
It was easy. We had a red split-tail lead-head jig. That's all you need. That's what we had. You throw it, and you start to reel, and the biggest and the fastest one caught up to it first.
Right.
And you have to hook him. You hook him and you bring him into the boat, drop him off, and throw it again, and the next one come on, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. That's the most fun I've ever had in my life.
And what's cool, in that clean water, you can see every one of them. You can even see them eat your bait, you know. That's cool.
Oh, absolutely. I said, do I have to keep the first one in the water anymore? He said, no, son, no, just fish. Just keep going. Keep going. And it literally by 10 o'clock, he said, he stopped. He said, who's going to clean all these damn fish? Okay, well, let's go.
I am.
Me.
All right, Dwayne. Well, hey, thanks for this story, and you have a great one, man. Keep it up.
I already do. I relive it every time I listen to your show, Mickey. I'm middle-aged now, but I'm not dead.
Welcome to the club. We're still here, and we're not dead, man. They can't take our memories away from us.
Bingo. Captain. Thank you, Captain Mickey.
All right, buddy.
I'll be with you.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Bye-bye.
All right. Later. All right. Who we got next? We got Johnny Littleton up. Is he ready to rock and roll? Let's go with him. Let's go with Mr. John Littleton. John, what's up?
Hey, Captain. How are you today, buddy?
Oh, I'm living a dream, man. It's all good.
There you go. Yeah,
need a call like that every once in a while to get us fired up.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. So, yeah, man, I wanted to talk a little bit about our, you know, club tournaments, you know.
We didn't have enough time yesterday to do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I've got about 8 minutes I can play with here, 6 or 8 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah. But we're getting quite a few new members, you know, joining our Lake Houston Anglers Club. And, you know, I've always said that's one of the best ways to meet a good group of guys because most of all the fishermen are good guys. And, you know, we get together and have a little competition, and you can go out, catch some fish, and hang around and, you know, tell stories. And you get to learn the lake a little bit. You know, and learn more about it. You know, that's why I was We were talking last night at the meeting about one of the guys had I don't think he's fished out there but two or three times at Lake Houston. And it don't have to be Lake Houston. I mean, you know, it can be, you know, there's a lot of good bass clubs around the Houston area. And, you know, some of them travel, and I know, like, Humble Bass Club, you know, mm-hmm. they travel around and fish different lakes. And but, you know, we mainly fish Lake Houston. But, you know, look everybody up if you're looking for some good friendly competition and not a whole lot of money. You know, some of these tournaments that are going on now, you know, entry fees are $400, $500, $600, and, you know, that gets a little expensive for people. But these little club tournaments like Lake Houston Anglers, you know, it's only $50, and that's for a team. So, you know, it's $25 a piece.
Yeah.
So, nothing. You know, it's real inexpensive. Now, you're not going to win a lot of money, but, you know, it's good little competition, and we fish till the end of the year, and then we have our top eight. You know, we take the top eight at the club, and, you know, we'll have a little championship in it. And, you know, there'll be a couple $1,000 in that one, so, you know, it's a little money in it, but, hey, it's all fun, and you learn more about fishing and meet some good people, and, you know, to me, it's not much better. So, you know, and I know you guys, you know, y'all fished all those saltwater tournaments, you know, and I know I hear all your stories, some of the old stories, Trout Masters and stuff. So, you know, it's just a good time to get out. And, you know, we're about to wrap down the end of the year, but, man, get ready for next year, you know. When,
I'm
you
with
know,
you.
Those tournaments. Those tournaments, we only fish, you know, one a month. So, you know, it's you know, it's a good little deal.
Well, but, tournaments, you know, once people get a little advanced at fishing, you know, that's just a good way for them to compete and, you know, add another aspect of fun to what they love to do.
Yeah.
The competitive spirit comes out in them, and go for it.
Yeah, it is, and like I said, it's a good way to get your feet wet, you know, if you want to start getting into tournaments, you know.
Yeah, you meet a lot of cool people and become friends with some, and, you know, people that you'd never met if you hadn't participated.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's, like I said, it's just a good way to get together and, you know, like with any club or, you know, any little organization like that. I don't know. I think we probably got 75, 80 members. Not all of them fish the tournaments, you know, but, you know, some drop out, some, you know, join up. I mean, it's in and out throughout the year. And we'll have, you know, we'll have probably, I don't know, we'll probably have 30, 35, you know, and we have ladies that fish too and kids that fish. So, you know, we'll have quite a few people out this Saturday fishing. So, you know, it's a good little deal. But again, I was talking with some guys last night, and, you know, a few of them been out this week. And, man, they're saying it's tough fishing. But, you know, it'll be tough for everybody. That's what I think. So, you know, we'll all have to play the game.
Ahead to look forward to. We got fall coming, and everybody likes that. Get old man summer behind us and get into some nicer, cooler weather. And, you know, hopefully this year we'll have a real fall like we did a real spring. We had a real spring this year.
Yeah. But it'll be good, you know. And I don't know. It's been one of them years, you know, with the COVID and everything. And Saturday is going to be one of those two tournament days, you know, again. And, you know, we got two tournaments going on at the same time. And so it'll, you know, trying to play catch up before the end of the year and trying to get as many tournaments in as we can. And, you know, I know Angler's Quest will be out there. you know, with their team tournament and then Lake Houston Anglers. So they'll all be good. Hopefully we'll catch a few fish and win a little money, you know, and left to play the game again the next week. So
yeah,
it's a life of a weekend bass fisherman.
Weekend, you know, warriors,
all,
baby.
Yeah. We, you know, most all of us have jobs, you know, and you know, I did it for years. I, you know, did the FLW and BFL and BASS and, you know, gone all the time and traveling and fishing and, you know, that, now that's a job, you know. I mean, it's fun, but it's a job, you know, but, I kind of like staying at home these days, so, you know, not traveling around so much. But
I'm with you.
That
comes later in life as we get older. But all right, John.
Yeah.
Well, I got to run, buddy. And
no problem.
If somebody wants to call you for info on tournaments or want to get involved and participate and play the game, how do they get a hold of you, man?
They can call me on my cell at 281-222-8544.
All right, John. Well, you have a good weekend. Nice talking to you.
Sure, man. We'll talk to you later. Hopefully my voice will be back to normal. We'll see.
Oh, you're fine. You're back to normal, bud. All right. Well, we'll see you.
All right.
Take care. All right. That's John Littleton on Lake Houston. All right. It's 5:15. Let's take a quick break, and we shall return right after these messages. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. It's 5:22 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe and talk to our good friend Tex Bowman, see what he's up to. Tex, good morning. How you doing?
Captain Mickey, how y'all doing?
We're good, and you?
And we're going to do better, put it that way. Oh, man. We've had a few things going on, Captain Mickey. I didn't even call you because just had to be. Lost my son-in-law.
Oh, no.
This is Dina, the one that had the cancer and is
right.
Okay now.
Her husband.
And lost her husband. And we are getting ready. We're going to have the funeral tomorrow, Saturday. And anyhow, we got that all going, buddy. But anyhow, one of them things, it was a bad deal. And you and I talk about it some other time. Okay, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
but
I've
been
to hear
fishing.
That,
and I'm going to fish today, too, Captain Mickey. And I got the my grandson, that was his dad, and he's going to help me on the boat today. It'll keep him occupied, add to you. But, Mickey, we're still catching catfish and bream and have some good trips this week. And I don't like to throw them out on the tailgate or on the grass or something other than do that. I could, but I don't either. I like just know that we're catching them, you know, and that's it. But, Mickey, we're using the green worm mostly for the shallow fish, and that's catfish and bream. And I got a couple of spots that's still paying off, man. It's just been good, that's all I can say. And the bobber is great when, you know, you got a family out there and they've never experienced this before, and see that old bobber go under and then by a cracky cell, they'll have a bream or a catfish. So it does real good. And then Billy and I both are doing great out deep, 18 to 25 foot, Mickey. And it's like a broken record out there, but we say by the ice chest full, you know. And it's been good, and we got somebody that cleans them for us at the marina now. And they can get rid of the carcasses, and we're not getting in trouble around the marina and everything. So works real good for us that way, Mickey. And we just don't have enough scavengers like we do in saltwater. You know, we got the hardhead and the crabs and the gulls and everything else. And we got turtles, is about it, Mickey, that come around the marina when we're cleaning or something. And we got the crumbs that we... A lot of times we'll throw them off in the water or wash them off in the water like that. But, Mickey, the night crawler, it don't matter. I like the green one, but any of them will work. around the shallows yet is still good for bream and catfish. And if you can't get there and there's been so much boat traffic on weekend, Mickey, that it's what we call like a wash tub, you know, it just the waves are back and forth. And it really gives us a tough time on the weekend. But through the week, it's been quiet. The marina, for a change, is the parking lot's not filling plumb up. And it has been through the week and weekends, you know. And, gosh, all we can do is bear with it, you know. But I go out I got me a spot out in the middle of the lake. And it is great out there. I've got it far enough out to where the boats can run on both sides of me. As long as they don't run over me, I'm fine. But that's about it, my friend. Keep on with it. We'll keep the boats out of the way. And with school starting, I think it's quieting down some myself. And we'll hope for the best on that. And like I said, the catfishing and the brim fishing is keeping us alive right now. That's all I can say. Been real great. And outside of that, Mickey, don't have much else going on.
Well, I'm sure sorry about your son-in-law, man. That just
yes, sir. Well, funeral's going to be tomorrow, and we'll get this behind us, and he's in better hands now, put it that way.
Well,
and we'll go from there, buddy.
All right, Tex. Well, hey, throw your number out. Somebody wants to call you, bud.
Okay, Captain Mickey, 713-252-4290 and LakeConroeFishingGuides.com. You can find me on there with those kids smiling face to face or ear to ear, I might say.
There you go. All right, buddy.
Hey, buddy, y'all have a good one. We'll be talking another time, Mickey.
Thank you, Tex. Have a good one. See you.
Yes, sir. Y'all
All
too.
Right. All right, that's Tex Bonin up on Conroe. All right, let's head down Texas City way. And let's talk to our good friend, Texas City Dave, Mr. Dave Fremont, on the dike himself at Boyd's One Stop. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. President accounted for. Barely.
Well, I hope you got plenty of time this morning. I'm going to do you till the break and put you on hold and come back and talk some more if that's cool with you.
That'd be fine and dandy with me,
all
Captain.
Right.
And,
well, let's hope talk, and I'll just let you know when the break is.
I hope everything's going good your way this morning. Sounds like it.
Couldn't be better, man. Thanks for asking. And you?
I'm doing well. I'm a little bit sad, though, because, boy, it seems like this whole COVID stuff is, everybody's so sick and tired of hearing about it, but it seems like now it's hit the ranch, you know. It wasn't that many weeks ago where it was like, hey, you know anybody that's been really sick with that stuff or whatever, and you know, you might hear someone say, yeah, I had a cousin or somebody or a guy I worked with, wife or something like that, you know. But boy, has it done a flip-flop. It's just really hit close to home. We've had family members luckily not really really sick with it, but got one cousin that is in the hospital. And then yesterday, I think it was Ed Avalar passed away, that a fine fisherman and well-known up and down the coast as being just a great guy. He's in our little fishing group. I met him a time or two at the fishing show, but I never really got a chance or the privilege to be able to know Ed. But he fought a tough battle. He was sick for, I think, 4 to 6 weeks with that stuff before it finally got him. But anyway, I don't know about you, but it seems like we're finding more and more people, you know, that we know that's getting sick from that stuff. And I'll be so doggone glad when that stuff makes this pass and gets on out of here.
I'm telling you, it's crippled our country.
It really has. It has. And we'll just have to keep on just gritting our teeth until we get by. But anyway, prayers for everybody involved with that nasty stuff. Texas City Dike seems to be alive and well in this old heat. I passed by Boyd's on my way out here to the end and checked on the bait situation and stuff. The flags were just about limp. I mean, hardly anything blowing through the canvas on the flags. As I made my way out here, pretty much the same. So I'd say the winds are very light, and
they are,
and probably what little bit is probably coming out of the southeast or something like that. But it's going to be another one of those mornings where I wouldn't be a bit surprised from what I've seen going on the beachfront and stuff that there'll be some trout caught there. And this last week, I don't like to say anything it ain't, but I hadn't heard a whole lot of reports of too much going on the dike, with the exception of an occasional black drum and boa reds and a few sheephead, and then a few speckled trout during the daytime, but not as many as the week before. But at nighttime, as it is right now, for at least about the next hour anyway, there's about six lights and generators set up from about the 4 mile marker out here to the last end of the dike here that are throwing some lures and maybe some croakers for some specks. I hadn't seen anything caught as I've been sitting here the last 20 or 30 minutes here at this one spot here at the very end. But there are folks out here fishing, and I would imagine with it not being real windy and such that they will have a good turnout here on the dike today. And then you kind of thin out a bit during the heat of the day because it has really been hot.
Well, it's really nice this morning. Dave, let me take my quick break, and I'll come back to you, buddy. Hang with me if you got time.
Go ahead. I'll be listening to everything.
You got it. I'll be right back to you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Love that music. All right, let's get back to Tech City Dave and talk a little more with him and check in with him. All right, Dave, we're back. Thanks for holding.
Oh, absolutely. I like listening to the commercials. I'm an old man.
Hey, you can tell when you get older you like listening to the commercials.
Yeah. You know, nobody wants to watch a lot of people are banning the sports games and football and all that stuff because they're mad right now, you know. But I'll say, okay, I won't watch it with y'all, but I'm still going to watch the commercials.
Sure.
Because I'm an old man.
Well, that's like the Super Bowl every year. Everybody's just excited about the commercials, you know, as they are the game.
Yeah, and they almost pay as much as they pay the ball players to even put a commercial up there at that time. You know, it's just unbelievable. But
oh, I'm telling you, that's some high dollar advertising right there, bud.
Yeah, but you've got some good sponsors though, man. When you start throwing out names like Belleville Meat Market and some of the others, I don't mind listening to those commercials one bit because they make me hungry, and hungry's
well,
my
middle
name.
Well, you know what? My favorite part is doing them because I'm got a good relationship with all of them, and their products are for real. It's a real deal.
They're
excellent. Just like Boyd's One Stop, what y'all do for people down there. Speaking of Boyd's, how's your shrimp looking? Reports up and down the coast this morning from everybody else I've talked to, shrimp are getting kind of scarce.
You know, now you had to go and ruin my day. You're right, man. It's amazing what the flip-flop is, but that is the nature of the game. Shrimp are like that. Oh, well, then again, all your bait fish are. But no, I went in there this morning, and I was very surprised that we didn't have any. And when I get there about 4:30 or so in the morning, usually I've got a pretty good idea about what we're going to have in store for the day. But I talked to the folks there at the store, and Martin especially, because he's the guy in the back that knows what's going on. And the shrimp are very scarce. He told me, you know, normally, Mickey, we've got two boats that go out every morning, a lot of folks, and you cut me off when you got to go. But we got a lot of boats that go out every morning. We've got two, a minimum of two that go out. And in most cases, they're back by about between 11 or 11:30 by the time they get called and call us, and we go meet the boat at the dock and load up and bring them back. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in the mornings on the weekends, because we're open 24 hours, we'll run out of a live shrimp. But that didn't say that we didn't have 300 pounds or more in our tanks, which is an awful lot of shrimp in a big picture. But we'll run out. That the boats come in every morning, they can't shrimp during the night, and they come in the morning and drop off, and then we're usually good until that next morning at when we get the rush through. And it's just a cycle that way. But, boy, when the shrimp dry up or they move out or they're making a transition from whites to browns to whatever, it makes it tough. So what I'm hearing now is, as you mentioned a while ago, Freeport's been really slim. A lot of times they come up here and get bait from us. But it ain't going to happen because we had 150 pounds, I think, between two boats yesterday. So this morning we're out of live shrimp. I did notice the place across the street did have their flag flying. I don't know how much or how long they'll have live shrimp, and they may already be gone because the folks that come by our store, we make no bones about it. If we don't have live shrimp, we want to help them try to find them. We'll say, hey, it looks like the flag's flying across the road. Go check them out. But because they don't sell or buy as much shrimp as we do, it's hard to say about how much they'll have. You know, during the toilet paper crisis, you couldn't get it at Walmart, but you might right. find some at a convenience store. You know, yeah. you just never know, so you hunt around for it. But we got plenty of croaker. I say plenty without live shrimp. A lot more people will be buying croaker. We had about 150, 200 dozen croaker, and we've got a big old good supply of live mullet. Our mullet guy's been out trying to make up the difference for not having live shrimp, and we've got a bunch of live mullet. If people want to use those, catch some redfish or maybe even snag a flounder or two. So that's it on the live bait front, boss.
All right. Well, how's your table fare shrimp, table shrimp?
We've got it. We got them in several sizes, you know, the 9-12s and big old colossals, and we got them on down to just about whatever size you want. And chomping at the bit to help anybody we can, Mickey.
Well, cool. Well, man, very informative. I'm glad you informed us on the shrimp situation, everything else. If somebody wants to call Boyd's, give them a number out, Dave.
409-945-4001. Thank you, Mickey. Another good
well,
Friday.
Thank you. You bet you, bud. And you have a great weekend and be safe out there, man. Stay COVID-free, yep. my friend.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Hey, thank you, Dave. See you, man. All right. That's our good friend, Tech City Dave, down on the dike, live this morning. And shrimp are a little scarce, but we go through this every year. It happens, you know, transition and switching out from whites to browns. And anyway, all right, well, let's go down to sunny San Leon. Let's hook up with old Captain Steve Hillman, see what he's doing this morning. Steve, good morning.
Morning, man. How's it going?
What's up, bud?
Oh, getting ready to dump this old boat in the water.
Yeah? Getting ready to put your gar rig in? No,
yeah,
that
man.
Boat ain't a gar rig anymore. That boat is really nice. You had it all redone and refurbished, and I enjoyed fishing in it.
Yeah, it's kind of messed me up a little bit, though. Now I'm all anal about getting blood on it and everything. I never used to be that way.
Ah, well.
But now, getting ready to get after it. Go out there and do the deal, start grinding again. It's been a grind all week.
I understand.
But it's not been bad. But you got to have the right guys, man. If you had a group of little kids or family or something like that right now, honestly, they'd be better off probably getting a live bait guide.
Yeah.
The lure bite's been just, I mean, we're catching 16, 18 keepers a day. And we're coming in anywhere from noon to 2 o'clock, like hottest
yeah.
part of the day.
Right.
And not just everybody can handle that. But,
well, if the fishing is really fantastic, they can, but, when you're having to grind and work hard and all that, it starts to wear on you, that old heat.
Yeah.
You know, people that are not used to it. You know, we look at it differently, like, you know, it's really not that bad out here. But
no, it doesn't bother me at all.
People that aren't accustomed to it, it starts to work on them. You got to keep an eye on people this time of year. Make sure they're not going to vapor lock on you.
Yeah, and it hasn't been that bad for August.
No, we've had a cooler summer than normal in my books.
Yeah. We had some cloud cover yesterday. And actually, I think the day before, too. But, I mean, heck, we're on the, what are we, 2-3 days backside of full moon. We got kind of weak tides. We've got a hard incoming early, real early. Then it peaks out. You got like 1 inch of movement. A little bit of a west wind early. Then it goes to nothing. It's not like it's optimum conditions. But every day, and I fished three different parts of the bay. I fished every day since Sunday. And every day we'll catch 5 to 10 trout, like right out of the box, like right when we get there. And then it just goes to nothing. I mean, you're lucky to get a bite, at least what I'm doing, where I'm at.
Sure.
But you're lucky to get a bite for like three and a half hours. And then say the tide changes around 10, 10:30, like it has in the last 2, 3 days where I'm fishing. And even though there's not much of an outgoing, when it peaks out and that strong incoming slows down and that water starts settling out, and that happens to also be about the time the wind's been dying down, everything kind of comes together, that's when we're getting our second little run. But that second run is not as good as the early morning. The fish aren't as aggressive. I mean, we're catching almost everything the last 2 days on Purple Demon, Little Johns, and we're dragging them on bottom. Hey, we're just dragging them.
Hey, that even means I can probably catch some fish in with Purple Demon working, man. That's my go-to bait, bud.
Yep, I know. I witnessed it. Yeah, you're a magician with that damn thing in your hand.
Hey, the last time I fished with you, you looked over at me. What are you throwing this morning? I said, well, what do you think?
I've never seen you throw anything else when you fish with me.
You
put a topwater on, I think, one day when we waited, maybe.
Yeah, I was trying to get some blows. I did have a couple of blows with it, but then I put a Purple Demon back on and caught one immediately. I said, well, look at there.
That's what I did yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah, I did the same thing yesterday. I threw a skitter walk for a while, and our topwater bite went away the last 3 or 4 days. And I wasted about 30 minutes throwing a topwater, and I put that Little John back on and caught one immediately, about 3 pounds. We actually had some pretty good fish yesterday. We had one pushing 4 pounds. I mean, not big fish, but good, healthy fish for August, for this bay, for these days. You know what
I
mean?
Good for us, yeah.
Yeah, and so we had their 15 trout by probably 9, 9:30 yesterday. Then we went just looking at stuff. I've been doing a lot of that the last 2 or 3 days because fishing has gotten a little bit easier. And we'll have 2 or 3 hours to go piddle. And, man, I'm not finding much other stuff. It's like I told you the other day, even though I'm fishing different parts of the bay, each area of the bay I'm fishing, I'm really only catching them in one or two spots. Some of that could be timing, but, man, I don't think so. I don't think we have schools on every street corner, you know?
No, I'm with you on that one.
But it's good enough. I mean, it's worth the effort. And they actually started slicking pretty good. I went out by myself last Sunday. I didn't put the boat in the water until almost 10 o'clock. And actually caught a few real quick. I think it was right in the middle of a major feed and a tide change. And the wind had just died down. Everything kind of came together. And, man, they started slicking really good that day. Best slicks I've seen in a long time. I mean, they had that really good smell to them, good little round-hearted slicks. And they smelled so strong, you kind of taste them. I mean, that's how good they smelled. I caught 2 cookie-cutter 4-pounders out of those 2 slicks, and never had another bite. And then I moved to another spot, and I caught a couple. But I found some fish, or I thought I found some fish. And I took some customers at Haley Matthews, and then the next day in from Wimberley, and took them back. And, shoot, man, we caught 5 trout, and we sat on 5 trout for like 4 hours, 5 hours, and then went back to where I caught a handful the day before. And those fish actually lit up. We put the anchor out on them, and we were getting bit almost every cast. And then I went back the next day, and we only caught a couple there. So, I mean, we ended up catching like 18 trout that day, but we didn't catch them there. It's just weird. The pattern's really strange, man. I think these fish are moving around a little bit, and we still got shad everywhere. They're all just chock full of shad. But anyway, I switched horses the last couple of days and bouncing around a little bit. So I got Roland and them. We got Roland Altinger and Mike Silva and Roland's buddy today. We're going to go wade.
There's a crew. So, you get them anywhere near a fish, they're going to catch them.
Oh, no doubt, man. We're going to go jump in with the sharks. I told you about all these damn sharks, huh?
Yeah, Roland will carry his knife with him. He'll take care of them for you. He'll do a little bow riding on him, a little throat cutting.
I just got a vision of him. You know, he's all wound up when it comes to weight, man. He can't get the water
back.
Oh, he
is. He's an animal.
He's going to jump out of the boat. He probably won't even use my ladder. He'll probably jump over the starboard side. He'll put a bowie knife in his teeth and walk out on the sandbar and start casting. I can just have a vision of that with Roland. He's wound up these days, man. He's been exercising, lost all this weight and everything.
I know it, man. I'm gonna feel like an old fat man fishing with him at the end of this month. He's going with me.
Oh, y'all fishing in this month?
Yeah, the 25th or somewhere towards the end there. So
there you go. Cool. But no, I tell you about that gar. I guess about 3 days ago, we were drifting, and about a 4 foot gar starts coming out of the water. And we're only in about 3 foot of water, and it's going crazy. And about a 7 or 8 foot bull shark was trying to eat it. A gar swam straight to the side of my boat. It almost hit the side of my boat. I've never seen a shark trying to eat a gar.
Well, I saw one back in the late 80s, early 90s. It was way back. Me and my party were wading the North Ridge up in the top end of Trinity Bay, and we saw a big bull eat about a four or five foot gar right in front of us.
That's just crazy.
Man, just this huge death ring on the water. I mean, it was a monster explosion. And then we saw the shark come up, and his tail and fin were sticking out of the water, and he was shaking that gar in his mouth like a rag doll.
And, golly.
Left this huge blood slick everywhere. One of my guys looked over at me and said, "Thank God he got that gar instead of us."
We never
caught another trout after that. We were catching them pretty good, too, on topwaters. And we never caught another fish after that. We just loaded up and left and went and waited in another spot. But that was pretty, it was 10 feet in front of us. I mean, where we're standing there landing, we're throwing out deep. We're on the ridge throwing out over those, you know, grass beds and stuff. And then that happened. It was crazy, man.
Wow.
Pretty bizarre. Well, Hillman, if somebody wants to go fishing with you and come down to Topwater and put in and go live the dream with you, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Yeah, come on, man. 409-256-7937.
All right. Well, good luck today, and put it on old Roland for me. I mean, get right next to him and just put the pressure on him, man.
Those guys put it on me every time.
I know.
They're good. They're good.
You got a good crew. You're a lucky man. All right, buddy.
I do. All right, man.
All right. Thank you, Hillman. See you, bud.
Thanks, Mickey. All right.
All right, later. All right, that's Captain Steve Hillman down in San Leon, and that's all the time we have for today's show, but we're going to be back in the morning. Bright and early at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.